Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda, with you once again by the gracious will of the Lord. It is my joy to look to the scripture once again with you, dear friend. This morning we continue in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Please turn there with me in your Bibles as you can, and we'll soon read verses 13 and 14. Our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry, Mission East Africa, Uganda, at www.missionafricajk.simplesite.com. Last Lord's Day, we began a section of verses in Ephesians chapter 6 talking about the spiritual armor. And we made comments that God is a divine warrior, that he wars against his enemies, against sin, death, and hell, against Satan and the demons, and that he overcomes them. Of course, he is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord God Omnipotent. And that in his omnipotence, he is a shield, a protection about God's people. Today, we'll look at verse 14, in which we see the spiritual armor, the belt of truth, and we'll learn more about this most needed component of the spiritual armor of God. Hear now the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's verse 14. Friends, let us pray. Father in the highest heaven, all glory, praise, honor, and blessing, love, and faith to you. For you are the great and gracious God who has saved your people and blessed us with the forgiveness of sins. Thank you forever, Father, that Jesus Christ, your very Son, came into this world, the Son of God in all glory, humbled himself and became the man, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and who rose again for our justification. Thank you for his sufferings. Thank you for his great warfare, his great combat, in that he has disabled, rendered powerless the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people. Praise you forever, Lord, that evil has been conquered by the perfect and holy man, Jesus Christ, so that now we stand in Christ and we too war in Christ and overcome sin and death and hell, the very enemy of God, Satan, and the demons. Praise you, Lord, that nothing can separate your true people from you. Nothing created, nothing that exists, no condition, no being. And so we give you praise that you are with us, near us, and we ask that once again you would bless the teaching and preaching of your word. Bless these precious living words to our hearts once again. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen and amen. My friends, we begin this morning with thoughts from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, which says, "You must therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." These are the lyrics of a hymn by Isaac Watts from 1724, based upon that verse. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thine armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. Amen. And we see in this great hymn of the faith that we must war faithfully and manfully with courage and look to the Lord Jesus who has gone before us and look to him who is before us, to his glorious person and to our glorious reward. My friends, the spiritual armor here in Ephesians chapter 6 is presented to us in the form of an analogy. That is, it is a symbolic representation of precious truth and particularly precious gospel truth. One man put it this way, that in this analogy, what the bodily armor means to a soldier is what the spiritual armor or truths mean to Christian people. Particularly, the gospel truths are found in the analogy, in the symbolic use of armor. We find the gospel to be clearly communicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And because we are saved by the gospel and we live by the gospel, let me once again bring to your remembrance the precious truths of God in his glorious gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read for you verses 3 through 8. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. And we also find the gospel clearly communicated in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. That's through verse 16. The gospel, this historical record of the life and death and resurrection and ascension of the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, identifies that the man Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, one with the Father, equal to the Father, and that God the Son took upon himself a human nature. He was conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. He was conceived without sin and lived a sinless life, though he was tempted in all ways as we are. He lived in perfect righteousness all of his life, every moment of his human existence in this world, and he was given as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of God's people. He suffered, he was beaten, he was crucified, His blood was shed as an atonement for the sins of God's people, to make expiation, that is, removal of the guilt of God's people, so that in God's love, He is given that every person who believes in Him with all of their hearts and truly repents of their sins, turning to God in true faith, saving faith, is acquitted of their guilt, is saved from their sins, and receives the precious gift of everlasting, blessed, and abundant life. That person who believes and repents is glorified in God's grace and can never die, but lives forever for the glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These precious gospel truths particularly are seen in the spiritual armor. And as we look at each piece of the spiritual armor Sunday by Sunday, perhaps we'll view more than one piece on certain Sundays, we'll see these great fundamental truths of the gospel portrayed, shown to us in this analogy of the spiritual armor. Let me also share with you this morning that many years ago, when I was a very young Christian, I had only been saved for a few short years, I attended a seminar one weekend that our church conducted on spiritual warfare. And a visiting preacher, a teacher, came to bless us, and I was thoroughly and abundantly blessed in the 2 days of teaching. His name is Danny Bonds. He's an American minister, and he had written a small book on the spiritual warfare. At the time, as a new convert, I knew little of the Bible, but I was simply enchanted. I was carried away by the teaching, the depth of teaching, the precious truth that I received in those 2 days. I was struck with the truth that God's word is powerful. It is all powerful in God's people's lives. And that as I understood the truth of God, as I believed the truth, particularly the gospel, and as I obeyed God, as I remembered daily and saw again and again, day after day, the precious, essential truths of God, and as I learned more and more and more of God's word, of the truth, the doctrines of the faith, that I was helped, readied, and equipped, and able to turn from sin, to resist temptation. My life was profoundly impacted by those wonderful, glorious 2 days of teaching, and I am thankful and indebted to Pastor Danny Bonds for his book. And so the truths of the spiritual armor had great impact upon me. And later in life, I came across a diagram, again, at the encouragement of a Christian. And the diagram contained verses from Ephesians chapter 6, really a daily reminder to, in a sense, put on the armor of God. That is, to not imagine clothing myself with these individual pieces of armor as a protection, but in daily remembering again and learning more of the truths of the gospel, learning of these fundamental truths that I believe and must hold to. And so in this way, I reminded myself day after day for actually some months and for a few years of the truths that we see communicated in the analogy of the spiritual armor. And simply put, I have never forgotten those great and fundamental truths since then. These truths, my friends, are liberating. And our protection is found in knowing the truth, believing the truth, reminding ourselves of the truth, yes, even daily, and in growing of our knowledge of the truth, this powerful living word. In verse 14, We see that Christians are to gird their waists with truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And that's a word that's probably unfamiliar to most of us who are listening today, but the word girding simply means that the ancient person who wore robes would pull up the bottom of his robe and he would tuck it into the belt or the sash that he wore about his waist. And he did this for freer movement so that he could run or walk much faster and in an easier way. And so when he was very active physically, he would simply pull the robe up and tuck it, push it into, tie it into, if you will, his belt or the sash. And so the idea here is that we must be ready, girded for obedient action, standing therefore, watching attentively, ready for spiritual battle. To be girded is to be ready for action. And so we here are instructed to be ready for action, our robes, if you will, tied up and held together, lifted up by the belt of truth. Now, as we consider this, we can remember the story of David and the giant Goliath. In that story, David, as a youth, pictures the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, the man who came and slew Satan. Goliath in the picture represents the devil. And so David, as a youth, was ready for the combat, and he came with his weapon, a sling and stones, and he came in readiness of heart. He was eager to uphold the name of the Lord God, the God of Israel, to show forth the glory of God by true faith. And he overcame the giant. It's quite a picture, isn't it? It's quite a story that a youth was fearless and overcame a huge warrior, a huge man. That the Lord Jesus Christ came with a ready heart, and he has slain Satan, the enemy of our souls, and his minions. We find here, my friends, that the belt of truth can be thought of, and let me credit my friend Danny Bonds once again, as general truth as it's found in the Bible and particularly in the gospel. We really gird ourselves in the truth in this sense as we faithfully take in the truth. And as I've mentioned before, because I believe it's so helpful and necessary for us, this acquiring of a general knowledge of the truth and of the gospel comes simply by reading and hearing the scripture, acquiring a biblical theology, learning the storyline, learning the Bible from the beginning to the end, Genesis, Revelation. So we acquire a biblical theology. We have upon ourselves the belt of truth. We are girded with the belt of truth as we understand and are familiar and hear often the general truths of the Bible. Another Christian commentator by the name of Matthew Poole shares that the belt of truth here really represents the soundness and sincerity of heart that adorns a Christian. Let me share his thoughts with you from his commentary on this chapter. Here's the quote. He begins with the furniture for the loins, the seat of strength, and alludes to the belt or military girdle, which was both for ornament and strength. And so is truth. understood either of the truth of doctrine, or rather, because that comes in afterward under the title of the sword of the Spirit, of soundness and sincerity of heart, than which nothing doth more beautify or adorn a Christian. And so Poole's thoughts are that the belt of truth in the analogy really represents the strength and beauty of the military belt that a soldier would wear was about his waist and really in many ways strengthened him. It's interesting that in the Hebrew in the Bible, we find that the word belt is a word that really means strength of restraint, able in one's strength to keep oneself from sin. The loins being the upper legs, the belt being about what we would call the waist or the lower abdomen perhaps, this seat of one's strength is belted, it is girded about, and the belt would simply tie, hold up the girding, of course, of the robe, but it would tie together other parts of the soldier's armor. The belt was, in a real sense, an ornament and a source of strength for the soldier. It was about his body and strengthened all of his body in its location. And because Matthew Poole comments, this refers really clearly to the heart. In Hebrew thought, the heart was the source of the mind and the source of the spirit of the person. The heart was located in the inner organs, sometimes thought to be in the kidney area. Because the heart was thought to be in the kidney abdomen area, the belt was worn about that area, hence the view that soundness or sincerity of heart is seen in this belt of truth, which is worn about that area of the soldier's body. Matthew Poole says that sincerity of heart is expressed in this, soundness of heart. In other words, truthfulness, sincerity of heart. The scripture tells us that we worship God from a sincere heart. And Jesus tells us that we must believe in God from a pure heart. The heart is purified by faith. The believer is sincere. He is not a hypocrite. He is not a pretender. His faith is sincere from a pure heart. And we also see references in the Bible to similar thoughts of soundness of heart. Again, a heart filled with this general knowledge of truth by which it is purified. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 12 that the Word of God says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity." That is another way of thinking of trueness, pureness of heart, unity of heart. It is the opposite of duplicity and godly sincerity. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. The heart is seen to be one of godly sincerity, not duplicity. We also find in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 in verse 5 that the Word of God says this, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm." That's through verse 7. Notice that the law of God is loved from a pure heart with a good conscience and from sincere, unhypocritical faith. And we find in Isaiah 51 verse 7, the word of God says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults." The key here is that the law of God is in the heart. And so the heart is sincere, it is sound, it is true, it has been purified by the word of God. This is a pure, sincere faith. Praise the Lord. A real and sincere trust in the Lord. Praise God. By way of quick review, the belt of truth is this general knowledge of the truth of God and the gospel. And this results in a soundness and sincerity of heart, a truthfulness of heart as the heart is protected. Praise God, as the armor is held together by the belt of truth. This sincere-hearted Christian believer is ready to hold to the truth of God and to stand fast in spiritual battle and overcome sin and temptation. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in the highest heaven, glory to you once again. Thank you for the precious truth. Thank you for this teaching of Paul that our hearts must be sincere and true, and we are protected in this as we receive the truth of God, the general truth of God. And I pray once again that my listeners would be moved by your Spirit to faithful obedience in the reading, the intake of the Scripture day by day, and that they may be sincere and pure and true in their faith to the very last day. Bless them, Lord. Help them in this way. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.